Listening to the sharings really has helped me out a lot. I heard some really good things. The one thing I'd like to touch on, and it has to do a lot with tools, looking out my window right now, there's a lot of diamond willow here. We live in a rather damp climate. We live right next to Lake Superior. And diamond willow sounds pretty wonderful. Those, you know, diamond willow, oh my goodness. But trust me, if you saw diamond willow growing, you'd kind of go, yuck, that thing looks terrible. But what you're looking at is the outside of the diamond willow. If you cut a piece of diamond willow and you strip it, strip the bark off it, it becomes absolutely beautiful. There are diamonds of dark brown on this absolutely blonde wood, and there's red diamonds. I've got a cane that I carved, and I used the bicycle spoke that I flattened out, and I went into this diamond willow, and I hollowed it completely out with the diamonds still there, so you can see right through the thing. The reason I'm bringing that up is because diamond willow is a willow tree that has a disease. The disease makes it look ugly on the outside. It looks like it's got these thumb impressions on the outside. And when you strip the bark off, those thumb impressions are the diamonds in the diamond willow. There are walking sticks that are made out of diamond willow that sell for a lot of money. It's a beautiful piece of wood once you get under the bark. And I think about that with not only with alcoholics, but ourselves as well. I did not think very highly of myself. I thought of myself as a stupid dork that was tall, skinny, and goofy looking. And when I realized that I had alcoholism in my life, and I say realized because I lived with it, I don't remember not living with alcohol. I don't remember not living with it. And now that I'm 76 years old, that's been a while. But when I was scared of the alcoholics in my life, when I was angry with the alcoholics in my life and didn't want anything to do with them and thinking I was better off with them and then thinking I can't live without them, when I got into Al-Anon, I saw the beauty underneath the ugly bark. And that's what Al-Anon has done for me. It's just brought that out. The willingness is really important for me. I'm a person that self-righteousness is one of my character defects, and willingness for me is very necessary. I learned it from you people. I learned it from your patience and understanding with me, and now I'm doing that with others. There was a man that I sponsored way over 30 years ago. And when he came to me, he shared something with me about where he was at and living with married to an alcoholic. And about 10 years ago, a gentleman came to me and shared where he was at living with an alcoholic, married to an alcoholic. A couple days ago, I was in a conversation with a man who shared with me what it was like living with an alcoholic. The reason I bring that up is because they were all the same. Different time on earth, different place, but it's the same. This thing does not change. Our experience, strength, and hope. Wow, thanks, Sandy. I just got a chocolate chip cookie and a cup of coffee. Isn't that something? Anyway, that experience, strength, and hope was good 40 years ago when I walked through the door, and it's appropriate right now. Those are long-lasting tools that get well used. So I'm going to continue on here. The third tool role is called hope. It in itself is a tool, as our experience and strength. I look at the definition of hope in the dictionary and see that as a noun, it can mean, among other things, feeling that what is wanted can be had. Or that events will turn out for the best. As a verb, it can mean to believe, desire, or trust.
Wow.
Hope has two different definitions, noun and a verb. I thought that was pretty cool. In our Al-Anon vocabulary, hope can also mean a desire to pass on to others what we have been so freely given. What tools can we apply to that passion? Before I get started on that, I want to talk to you about an alcoholic in my life. This gentleman, I was the Al-Anon speaker at a state hospital treatment center. I was the Al-Anon speaker and Bill was the AA speaker. And I had never heard Bill before. He lived up on what we call the Iron Range north of here in Minnesota. He worked in an iron mine and he was a big guy. And he had this brown suit on, and when he came to share, he talked about a river of recovery. This river runs down into a lake, and it just keeps filling into that lake. The water keeps trickling in, but there's no outlet. And he said, sooner or later, that water gets stagnant, and it's no good anymore. And he said, AA, because he was AA speaker, he said, AA is like a river coming down into the lake. There's an outlet, and that river flows into the lake, and so on and so forth until it meets the sea. That water stays fresh because it's passed on. That was a long time ago, and I've never forgotten that. That analogy that he used became a part of my life, and I still use it to this day. What tools can we apply to that passion? Well, we can start with three tool roles: experience, strength, and hope. Prior to starting the piece, I remove my three tool roles from their carrying bag, unroll them strategically around me, and then start my carving. Removing and ideally replacing the used tools to their slots as I remove the excess wood from the piece. I have roughing chisels and knives. I also have finishing chisels and knives. And when we in our program get to hope, I think it's time to start using our finishing tools. You know, I'm a liar. I'm a liar because I enroll them strategically, removing and ideally replacing the tools to their slots. I don't do that. I got tools all over the place. I can't find my chisels. I can't, you know, what did I just do with this knife? I just used it. Where is it now? So I have to realize that I'm not perfect. My Al-Anon life isn't perfect either. And as I said earlier, my subject changed without notice. And I just got to believe that if I stay the course, I'm going to get where I'm headed. And that's pretty cool to me. Anyway, We went into this project of recovery and found that we could learn a set of skills. Some of us were more adept, some of us not so much. Together, we learned how to craft our serenity by listening and sharing and attempting that which we thought we could never achieve. We naturally made some mistakes. We still do today. As I just said, we're not perfect, but we were and are encouraged to keep moving forward. Some of my mistakes in carving as well as recovery turn out to be what my wife Sandy likes to call GMCs, God-made coincidences. And I think about that and you know, if I lose my serenity and something takes place and my 10th step, I'm looking at that and I need to go make amends, that can be a pretty cool deal. To be able to look somebody in the eye and make amends, give your apology, and make amends, which means changing something, that's a pretty cool deal. And to be able to do that, Sandy and I have been married 53 years, and to be able to do that today, and we do, is a pretty neat deal. I remember when we were first married, and I would love her in the morning. We'd walk around a nature trail at Paso State Park, and I loved her in the morning. And that night she'd be out drinking, and I hated her guts. I loved her and I hated her. those are my two tools. Love was a tool, hate was a tool, but they had the opposite effect. And I just felt guilty and nasty about that. And thank goodness for Al-Anon, that when I came into Al-Anon, I learned how to rectify that situation. And understand, as I heard somebody else say just a little while ago, to understand that I love the alcoholic and I hate or detest the behavior. That the alcoholic is a person and the behavior is a symptom of the disease. And that being able to separate those two allowed me to think of myself as being somewhat sane when I thought I loved and hated her at the same time. How could somebody do that? Some finishing tools. Positive energy. One of the tools is that is in every role, absolutely necessary from the start on down the stretch, positive energy. Oh my goodness. That's just great. I've got friends, some of my Al-Anon brothers, they are constantly in this positive state of mind. It just drives me nuts because I'm not always there. Patience. Now, this is what I'm going to share about patience. Again, a familiar item in our inventory. We know where we were without it. New in recovery, I spoke of patience in the presence of my children. They laughed and said, "You have patience? That's a hoot." They laughed at me because I said I had patience. And I was newly in Al-Anon at the time, and it hurt my feelings. But then now looking back, how important it is to have patience. That's a hoot, they said. We all know where we are with our patience today. Certainly we can use our tools for many jobs. They work well for roughing and also for finishing. Awareness, acceptance, and action. Wow. I wish I could see all your faces right now, because awareness, acceptance, and action is one of the basic principles. I hear that so much in Al-Anon. How about using these as a trio? Acceptance without approval. Now there's a, I actually got that one thrown at me by an alcoholic that I love very much. I thought she was telling me what I should do. And later I learned she was talking about what she needed to do. And I use that in my program today. You know, the alcoholism that I, or I should say the alcohol that I've dealt with all my life, started out with my grandpa and my mom and dad and my wife and my sons and my granddaughter. That's five generations about alcohol and alcoholism. I accept that, but I don't necessarily approve of it. But acceptance, awareness, and action is how I have to do that. I got to mention, I've got this down here, and part of a prayer I heard this I've got written this past Sunday. If we don't find the answers, pray to let us find acceptance. Now, there was a guy that said that. He was talking in front of a bunch of people, and he had a microphone, and I was counting the bricks on the wall because I didn't necessarily go along with what he was saying. And then that spirit that guides my life put that into my head. All of a sudden, I heard that man say, "If we can't find acceptance, please let us pray for acceptance." All right, if we can't find answers, please let us pray for acceptance. Wow, what a thing to hear. Be teachable and be a teacher. Be a listener. We must be open to learning from everyone. There is always something to learn from every event in our lives. I hear what I need to hear. If I'm sitting in a group of parishioners, I sit and I listen, and I hear some things I need to hear. If I'm sitting at an Al-Anon meeting, I hear things I need to hear. It's all about tools to me. Every event of our lives, trust, respect, willingness, continuity, flexibility, humility, that's all stuff that we need. And I'm so glad that we're able to use that in our recovery. I'm going to read a piece that I read in our local paper, and there's a word in there that I had never heard before, but it touched me absolutely beautifully. And I'll just read what it says. Lessability is a new word that our local newspaper's outdoor columnist Sam Cook recently coined for those of us who can't climb to the top of the mountain anymore, can't pound the pavement for 26 miles, or as in my case, aren't able to endure the stresses of long-distance bicycle rides, or carved for many hours on end. Acceptability means that I have the flexibility to accept my less ability with humility. I do not have a disability. I am not a liability. I simply have less ability. I can and do make a positive difference. I just need to conserve my energy by being a good listener to my body's messages. And this is the message: 1 hour of carving plus 1 hour of carving plus 1 hour of carving equals 3 hours of carving. To me, that means that I can't sit and do 3 hours of carving in a row, but I can do an hour and then a little later do an hour again. I'm an example of Al-Anon, so are each of you. No choice. We go to Al-Anon. If we go to Al-Anon, we are examples to others, whether they be newcomers or seasoned members or those still outside our doors. Will I choose to be a positive or a negative example? I came into this fellowship. There it is, fellowship, community of spirit. I came into this fellowship kicking and screaming and not caring about your tools of the program. I was 36 years of age. That's over half of my lifetime ago. You have offered to me, loaned to me, and given to me your time, your energy, your love, and yes, all these tools we talked about today, and so many more that I can't attempt to describe, define, or do a complete inventory of them all. When I asked, do I need to return them, your reply was, pass them on to the new person. We are resupplied at every meeting. That's one of the neat things about this program, is that I have been offered tools to use. And a guy will come to me with hurting in his eyes, hurting in his chest, and cry, and I have tools to offer him. This is something I tell the guys that I sponsor. Your recovery is your responsibility. I'll do a lot of things for you and with you and talk to you and listen, and we'll work on things, but ultimately the recovery comes down to you. Going back to Frontenac, Minnesota, if I was at that carving conference and I was carving a piece of butternut, my instructor would instruct me on what to do. Or you know what else he would do? Let's get back to the eyes, carving eyes. I'm left-handed, so it's easier for me to carve the right eye. He would carve the right eye and then say, okay, now you do the left one. And it would be more difficult because I'm using my left hand on the left eye. So, you know, that's kind of I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm working on my
Chuck.
So it's just
Chuck, can you hear me? Chuck, would you turn your video off?